Good morning. Can we please take our hymnals this morning and turn to hymn number 576? Seated. Let us bow our heads in prayer and commend all things to the Lord this morning. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks unto thee that we can come to thy throne of grace this morning, that Lord, that we do rest assured on the promises of God, that we can come to thee, that knowing that it is a sure word, a more sure word than even the lies of this world, that Lord, that thou hast told us to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. But Lord, that we do come this morning worshiping thee, not with strange fire, but Lord, we come with the truth, with the authority of thy word, that we can say that Christ paid it all. Lord, we come this morning looking for thee, that thou surely said that those who seek me shall find me. And Lord, that we do give thanks unto thee, that we do not come to some idol this morning made with man's hands, who has eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear, but we come to the ever-living God, when thou hast said in thy word that I am the God of the living. And Lord, that we can commend these things all to thee this morning. And Lord, we confess unto thee that, Lord, that we have fallen short from thee. That, Lord, even on our best days, Lord, we are still separated from thee due to the fall. And Lord, that we do ask of thee, Lord, to remember our framework this morning from but the dust of the ground. But Lord, give help to preach. Lord, give help by the power of the Holy Ghost to reveal the truths even unto the people. Lord, when thou hast even said to Peter, Lord, lovest thou me, feed my sheep. feed my lambs. Lord, we do know that there are many hungry people this morning, hungry for the word of God. And I ask of thee, O Lord, to give a receiving heart this morning. Lord, open the hearts up to receive the message, a message from the Lord. Lord, it is not of man. We do not come this morning to try to tickle the ears. We do not come with man's opinion. But Lord, we only come with the ever-living word, the word of God, to bring forth a message in season. When thou was said even to go ye into the world and to preach the gospel. Lord, give help this morning to preach with all fullness. Give clarity of mind. Lord, we do ask of thee that thy words will bring forth uttered by the Holy Ghost. Guide, O Lord, even the clarity of thoughts, Lord, that we may not care upon the cares of this world. But Lord, we come to thee in worship, to worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we do remember all the other church services this morning to bring forth the word. Lord, give help with even the circumstances of this time. But Lord, we do know that thou hast said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, give help this morning. We do ask for those who cannot make it. And we do ask for even those watching from home, that even that thy will work all things out according to thine own divine counsel of thine own will. Lord, we commend all these things this morning. Give help, we ask. Visit us here. Do the unexpected, we ask. For all these things in Jesus' precious name, amen. Let us turn our hymnals here to the back at Psalm 23a. Psalm 23a, and we will sing the entire hymn. Seated. If you can please turn your Bibles this morning for the scripture reading in Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest a peradventure a mischief befall him. The sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are the servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That it is that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother and come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do, and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they did said one to another, We are very guilty concerning our brother, in we saw the anguish of his soul, and when he besought us that we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took them, then Simeon, and bound them before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened the sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies from the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brother and sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man of the Lord of the country said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, and shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men, so will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, and behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. May the Lord bless this reading, this lengthy reading this morning, and ask the Lord's blessing in the reading of his word. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do ask of thy blessing upon thy word, to bless it to our hearts, that we know it is a closed book, that, Lord, thou may bring forth the truth by the revelation of the Holy Ghost to reveal every truth, O Lord, in thy teaching. Give power to preach, O Lord, give help this morning. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here we have the announcements for today's Lord's Day. Our brother Larry is away. We welcome to all that who have joined us on sermon audio for services today. Our sincere condolences to Mr. Jerry Frank, an elder in our church in Trinity, Alabama, in death of his wife. Mrs. Amy Frank drowned while the family was on holidays this past week in Alabama. We pray that the Lord will comfort our dear brother and his family at this time of great sorrow. Please continue to pray for all our healthcare workers and the most vulnerable in our congregation. Remember to pray for those recently bereaved, the sick and elderly. Pray for Sam McAnally as he begins cancer treatment, and for Dr. McClellan as he awaits his heart valve replacement. Information regarding church reopening. This is from our brother Larry. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you for your patience and prayers regarding the reopening of our church for public services. Our session and board have considered the matter very carefully with much prayer and discussion. We have decided to reopen on July 26th for the morning worship only, reverting back to our original service time of 11 a.m. for the duration of July and August. We will have in place all the necessary safety protocols, which will be emailed next week. We recognize that some may still feel uncomfortable in returning at this time, and we wish to assure you that we will support your decision to continue to worship with us online. The evening service will continue on sermon audio, but will also revert back to the original service time of 6:30 p.m. With the pre-service prayer meeting via Zoom at 5:50 p.m. The Wednesday prayer meeting will continue over Zoom. We look forward to renewing fellowship once again in person. Much blessing to you and your family, Pastor Larry Saunders. Also remember the weekly announcements, pre-service prayer at 4:30, evening service at 5:30 with speaker Mr. James Frazier, Wednesday prayer meeting at 7:30 via Zoom with Mr. George Robinson, and remember next Lord's Day services, morning worship at 10 a.m. With Reverend Reggie Cranston, and in the evening worship 5:30 with Mr. Alex Newell. Please take your hymnal here and turn to hymn number 681. 681. Please take your Bibles as we turn to our message for this morning, to turn back to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, and it was a lengthy chapter, but in all means a necessity chapter, to see what is all going here as Jacob was bereaved of the losing his second son, Benjamin, here. And notice our text here as we read Genesis chapter 42 and verse 36. It says here, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." You don't have to go far to realize the trials of Jacob that were by no means of light affliction. They were indeed heavy, and if Jacob had any idea that his own sons were active in bereaving him of his beloved Joseph, in whom he loved, his grief must have been beyond all expression. Although Jacob, not having been able to bring home them any proof of their terrible act in betraying Joseph and telling him that he was dead, he was nonetheless still bereaved through them, as his words seem to portray so blatantly here. Notice his words, "Me ye have bereaved, Joseph is not." And this might well make him opposed to trust them with Benjamin in their hands as a ransom. But notice the complaint that Jacob uttered in respect to the pinnacle tip of his trials. It was ultimately the wrong response. "All these things are against me." It is more than probable that none of us in Jacob's circumstance would have acted any better than him. Maybe you're standing here this morning and saying that, you know, I wouldn't have acted like that. But I tell you, you would have. I want to preach to you today on how Christians are to act in trying circumstances. Yes, there is a right way to act, and there is a wrong way to act. Firstly, then, let us consider the wrong way to act. In life, when our trials are light, we can easily overcome them and deal with them with composure. But you see, if they become heavy and if they become overwhelming, I tell you, you are then prone to respond with murmuring complaints. Whether Jacob meant to reflect on his sons or not, he surely meant to complain of his afflictions. And I want you to understand that this morning, that he was complaining about his afflictions. He was complaining about his circumstances in life. And there's one thing you must understand, that Jacob here, he was a man of God. He was, in fact, to complain of God because who in all wise providence had appointed him. A good example we see here is when the Israelites murmured against Moses and against God. Whenever any difficulty or distress would come upon them, it was a great murmur. You can't deny that. Any time that they were in some sort of distress, they would complain. It was a great murmur when they sent spies to the land of Canaan and its inhabitants and proposed to make a captain over them and return to Egypt. Could you imagine that? God delivers you from a place and you want to go back to that place where God delivered you from. It's a great murmur. Let me tell you this.
How many such murmurers and complainers are there among the Christian people of today? You don't have to go far to see the complaints about what's taking place in our time. Times of uncertainty. You see, the virus, people don't like the virus. It's not a good thing. But yet, I tell you this morning, God has a plan. God has a plan. Despite all the murmuring and complaining, are there amongst the Christian people of today to charge God foolishly? Because if you're charging God foolishly this morning, then you're saying that you're God's counselor. That's what you're doing. We have even some professing Christians that will expressively declare that they think God deals harshly with them. Others act in anger towards the instrument of their calamities, but nevertheless, Christians are apt to charge God foolishly, as if He were unmerciful and unrighteous. Also in His actions towards them. Notice the other wrong response here. With despair and fear. Now I want you to go in Joseph's shoes here. So filled was Jacob with the burdens and troubles of losing Joseph. This was his beloved son. That he could not entertain any hope of anything good coming from his situation. He thought of nothing except increasing troubles in his life. My, what good can come from this? My only beloved son is lost, and now they want to take another one. How can God be for me? With despair and fear. Notice his words. Wow, you can just feel as he ends with these verses here. Bring down his gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. He was bereaved. Let us again look at the Israelites. They had seen bread given from them from heaven and water out of the stony rock. But yet they doubted whether God were able to provide flesh also for their nourishment. And also, when they were brought to the very borders of Canaan, they doubted God whether it was even possible for them to conquer the inhabitants of the land. You see, we are Christians. We're no better than they in our response to such trials. It is true that we are ready to say on some occasion of tribulation, our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Is there not some of us that are respond like David did? A time of despair. That mercy be not utterly come to an end. My, it cannot be. We have a great, a vivid picture here. If you can turn, please, to Judges chapter 6. It's Gideon. Judges chapter 6 here and verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizurite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Notice here. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Notice Gideon's response here. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now I tell you, there's all these things be upon us. Notice his words. The Lord hath forsaken us. The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon saying, you're going to deliver the people from the Midianites. And he's telling them, the Lord has left us. It cannot be. Circumstances don't show it. And if you go on to read, he says, perhaps I'm poor. Won't happen anyways. I got no money. My, do you think the Lord needs circumstances to work upon your life? Can you answer me that this morning? Do you think everything has to line up perfectly for the Lord to use you? The Lord doesn't need circumstances. What are life circumstances compared to God? It's nothing. I tell you, the hope is not lost. You see, are we not to respond as all these prophets did? I want to tell you this. Notice that the flaming trials of life, it's all temporal things. Because what you're doing, if you're doubting God, you're saying He's not able to perform what He has promised in His Word. What does the Lord say in Jeremiah 32, verse 27? He says here, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Have you forgotten His promise this morning? You're stuck in that valley of gloom, and you're saying that there is no good that can come from this, then I tell you, you're going to throw everything into a fix. As a matter of fact, if you're living your life by circumstances, I say it's not scriptural. Because what about Job? My, he never had a circumstance for him. His wife whispering in his ear to curse God and die. Can't you see nothing's for you here? No, my friend. The Lord, He loved Job. The Lord, He loved him. He says, behold my servant Job. But the circumstances didn't show it, did it? I must turn you this morning to the reliability of Scripture. I must turn to you, not with the politicians. They come up and they promise you the world, yet they cannot deliver anything. Is that where your trust is this morning? Are you trusting what the news brings forth and what these politicians come? But what does the Bible say? It says, cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. It doesn't say to follow man. Condemn all these acts of unbelief. I tell you, the devil is getting the better of you this morning. And know whom the God you serve this morning. You must know the God you serve. And now that brings us to the right way to act. Yes, there is a right way to act. However the raging storms of life may come in your life, you must wait on God's timing. As Christians, we are not to be impatient because relief does not come by the first time we ask for it. Isn't that the first thing we want? We want relief right away. No, it can't be. Let's get down to prayer. The Lord, He has to act right away. Common thing. You see it all the time. That's the first thing we go to. My friend, it's God's timing. It's not your timing. God acts when He acts. There is a time when God will act in our lives to provide a cure for our troubles. The Bible doesn't say a Christian's life is going to be sunshine and rainbows. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that once you get saved, all things are going to be good. You don't have to worry anymore. That's not what the Bible is saying here. For it says, for in this world ye shall have tribulation. It says you're going to go through the flaming trials of life. You're going to go through uncertain times. But it says, behold, I have overcome the world, saith the Lord. Paul, you see, he went through stonings and beaten with rods, all afflictions, yet he's preaching victory. You're going to throw everything into a fix this morning if you're going by circumstances. The victory is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Don't worry about the circumstances. Think of this. We do not expect that a medical prescription is to take effect immediately after indulging that medicine. It might be hard going down, but I tell you, as unpleasant as it is, we are content that it's going to make us better. As unpleasant as the operation is, know this, that our heavenly physician prescribes with unerring wisdom and consults for our greatest good. Whatever timing God may have in your life in prescribing a cure for the time of trouble, wait upon the Lord, and ye shall run and not be weary. And ye must also trust on His promises. The promises of God to His people respecting the issue of their trials are exceedingly great and precious. I must lead you towards the Scriptures this morning in what God's promises are as good as gold. But when you go away from the promises of God, you begin to trust in the flesh. You begin to say in your own heart that I must take control because God has left me. It's the same thing that Gideon said. My, you have the angel of the Lord telling you you're going to be a mighty man. You're going to deliver the people. Yet he's saying, Lord, it cannot be. It's the wrong response. And remember this, that God is not a man that he should lie. His promises are certain. They are as good as gold in the times of tribulation. Doesn't matter the time. Doesn't matter what events may befold you. Doesn't matter. The promises are reliable. It is a myth and a lie to believe that the Lord traps His people with no escape. It's the devil, as subtle as he is. It is a lie. Because the Lord declares that we shall have no temptation without a way to escape. And that all things shall work together for our good. And work out for us more exceedingly than the weight of glory. Doesn't matter the circumstances. If God says in your life that I'm going to prosper you, it doesn't matter the circumstances of life. My, you could have, humanly speaking, everything against you. But my, if you have God for you this morning, you cannot lose. Doesn't matter the circumstances of life. This is not humanism this morning. It's not supposed to preach that you have the power and you're the center of the universe. My, it's to trust in the Lord our God and His promises. It's His promises that deliver us from the flaming trials of this life, no matter how great the trouble. Therefore, a Christian, if you're experiencing a great trial in this life, I tell you, dare not say that all these things are against me. Because I tell you, God has a plan. It's not your plan. We are not God's counselor. You can't tell me, yeah, but preacher, you don't know my situation in life. You don't know what I'm going through. You know, I can't see the light. God has a plan. I don't need to know your circumstances. Because the Word of God says God has a plan and His promises He's also able to perform. Dare not say all these things are against me. Jacob, it cannot be all these things are against me. God has said, I will do thee good. It's a promise from the Lord. He told him, I will do thee good, Jacob. Joseph is alive and well. He's sitting on the right hand of Pharaoh, that in all these things, God had a plan. It didn't matter the bloody cloak that the brothers gave the father. It doesn't matter when he was in the den, when they sold by thieves into slavery. That didn't matter. God had a plan. In prison, because of Potiphar's wife, falsely accused of adultery. God had a plan. Right to the throne, to serve at the right hand of Pharaoh. Jacob, have you forgotten Bethel when the Lord came through? My, we just read it here. It's saying, lest we die, go and get food because we're going to die. But if you were paying attention, it didn't cost them anything. Joseph, he never charged them, take your food. It was not providence. Didn't charge him anything for it. It cannot be all these things are against me this morning. It cannot be. My, can you tell me one instance where the Lord promise fails? I'm all yours. I'm all ears. If you can show me in the Bible one instance where the Lord's promise failed, you won't find it. My, you have the evolutionists come and they say that the Bible is disproven and this is disproven. My, all you're doing is proving the Word. Reliable, isn't it? You know why? Because it's not of man. Word of God is not of man. It's God's word. God cannot lie. And my, it's a trial of faith. Bring much honor to God this morning when you live by faith. And what a testimony it is that when you see a Christian going through all these hard circumstances, you see them have the sickness in life, and you see that man, he's having it rough. But yet when they say that God is good, my, what a testimony that is. You're saying God is good, but yet you're on the verge of dying. You have cancer. You have this, and you're telling me God is good? God is good. Doesn't matter the circumstance. It's a great testimony. Bring honor to God with faith. And let it satisfy your heart that God has promised. And that what He has promised, He is also able to perform. And lastly, to bring you to our Christian's hope is in the Lord. Don't place your hope anywhere else this morning. You will not find it. Having hope in the Lord means you must submit to Him. You say, well, nothing's working out for me and I follow the Lord and this. Well, you must submit to Him. Remember Abraham's conduct under far heavier trials than we can ever be experienced. What though we cannot see how God can affect our deliverance? You see, the heavier our burdens in life, whatever the state of tribulation that besets us, you trust Him more. Heavier the burden in life, the fiery the trials, I tell you, you lean on Him more. Pray louder, cry unto Him more. Lean on Him more. Then we can utter the right response that was from Job. When he said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Isn't that the right response? Though He slay me, I don't care about the circumstances that what I'm going through. Despite in all these things, yet will I trust in Him. How was Jacob rebuked at last when he saw the issue of those things, which then he uttered those words in haste? And you can quickly see he regretted. Remember this in our present time, it is the same gracious Almighty God that aids us in the time of trouble. They who trust in Him shall never be confounded. And thus, we are, more importantly, the instruction given to the Christian: the just shall live by faith. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll read it to you here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith beholds nothing but fatherly love in the most pearliest of times. Faith brings a meat out of the eater and brings forth sweetness out of the turmoils of life. I tell you, Christian, this morning, do not live this life by circumstance. Live by faith. You see, the trial you are enduring, or that hill you are climbing, look at the top as if you're already there. That's faith, my friend. It's not looking at what's in front of you. It's looking what's in beyond. I trust in the Lord with all things. Faith looks to the end of all things and sees them as the extent as God sees them. This is the great antidote in the time of trouble. So say not that all these things are against me, but remember the great words of Habakkuk when he realized not to live by sight, nor by the circumstances of life's trials. Notice what he says: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Is it faith or is it not? Is it faith or is it not? You see, Christian, this morning, God is pleased to try you on purpose that you may learn to trust in Him. In this world, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter the times. It doesn't matter the pestilence. It doesn't matter the lawlessness. It doesn't matter the break-ins and the crime. It doesn't matter. Let us therefore cling continually to the divine principle, which in the act of faith brings much honor to God. My, if you're living in that gloom by circumstances this morning, I tell you, the devil, he's robbing you of your joy. Because you have the victory. Bring the honor to God by your faith, and brings happiness to your own heart in the time of trouble. Let us therefore conclude all things this morning and look at Jacob. Jacob, in his life, no doubt saw much sorrow and sadness. He was fastened to magnify his sorrows until they took hold of his whole life and phased out the light of hope. Because that's what happened to Jacob. He lost hope in the Lord. Jacob, he was really reflecting when he said, all these things are against me. No man had strong faith to see the end of the Lord could begin to utter those words. It was all in all an emotional response. I tell you, he loved his son Joseph, but in fact, the mere opposite was true in what he believed in his own heart. Joseph being safe and serving at the right hand of Pharaoh. Is this you this morning? Are you saying those same words due to your circumstances in life? Do not cast these dark reflections upon God's dealings with you. Do not charge God foolishly this morning. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? But remember that God told Jacob. You must understand this morning. God told Jacob, he says, I will surely do thee good. That was God's promise to Jacob. I will do thee good. Jacob was the man who wrestled with God and prevailed. And now he's showing weakness in the faith. This was a man whose name was changed to Israel. He's without a doubt a man of God. There is a right way to act in the time of trouble, not to act with murmuring or fear or despair, but rather by patience, hope, and faith in the Lord. Claim your faith and triumph in the Lord this morning. What then will you say, I ask in your response of the time of trouble? You cannot say all these things are against me. You cannot say that. I tell you, rather say, that he hath done all things well. Because remember, God has a plan. He hath done all things well. Remember this, no man knows the mind of God. There is no man. You do not know what God is doing. Let us then look forward and rest assured in his promises by faith, the reliability of Scripture, the inerrant word of God. Let us end with the words of the psalmist as he spoke in his old age. May the Lord inscribe this verse to our hearts because it sums up the whole message here. Psalm 37, verse 25, it says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It's never happened, nor will it ever happen. And may the Lord bless this message to our hearts this morning, and may we lean upon him in the time of life's troubles. Let us end with a hymn, 214. We'll sing the entire hymn. Thank you. standing for closing prayer. Our Father and God, we do ask of Thee, O Lord, to dismiss us in Thy blessing. Bless Thy word to our hearts, we ask, and Lord, that we do ask that we may lean on to Thee for all things, that we may trust in not our own understanding, but, Lord, to even lean the more on Thee, that the just shall live by faith, that, Lord, that Thou will inscribe it to our hearts, the truth of the Scripture, that even in a time of uncertain times, that we can call upon the name of the Lord, that Thou hast said that the Lord will fight for you. Dismiss us in Thy blessing. We ask of all these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.